I do not believe the American people would have supported any kind of military intervention into Afghanistan unless they felt that there was a reason for that. And, of course, chasing Osama bin Laden into Afghanistan was, of course, the reason. The big question, of course, is that the event of 9/11. Mm-hmm. Right now we have the commission going on, the 9/11 Independent Commission, investigating what is going on. I do not know, quite honestly, Michael, if they will do a thorough enough job. Michael Caine has thrown out some references that the American public will be surprised when we come out with some things. And I don't know if he's dangling a carrot or not. And I'm not sure if they'll really get to the bottom of what's going on in a situation that is extremely frustrating, because I've heard, you've heard, all kinds of stories about this, including, did we really know about what was going on? And just yesterday, in the presidential news conference, I thought the president stepped over some of his own answers when he was thrown that question several times during the performance.
Well, he made a very serious mistake in that by referring to the Genoa G8 summit, which took place in July of 2001. And again, I have sort of sourced this. I was one of the first to bring it out, but there was an LA Times story supplemented by other stories from Europe, which said very clearly that Italian authorities and Italian intelligence had penetrated al-Qaeda cells, including by putting microphones in a Citroen used by a couple members of one cell. But they had uncovered a plan to crash hijacked airliners into the Genoa G8 summit to kill George W. Bush. As a result, George W. Bush slept on an aircraft carrier. Genoa was placed under martial law, ringed with anti-aircraft guns, and the airspace was closed off. And this was in the LA Times. So, you know, and his second mistake, which was egregious to me, it was dumb is what it was. I mean, if I was Andy Sipowicz in NYPD Blue and I heard George Bush say that, I'd be throwing him up against the wall and saying, you idiot, don't you know you just confessed? When he parroted a line that had been used by Condi Rice and Ari Fleischer right after 9/11, we had no idea that aircraft could be used as weapons. That is one of the biggest lies I have ever heard told on a public stage anywhere. Not only have I documented a multiplicity, I mean like 10, 11, 12 warnings from foreign governments about hijacked aircraft being crashed into important buildings, and in some cases very specifically into the World Trade Center. Colleen Rowley, the FBI agent in Minneapolis, Time Magazine's Woman of the Year, had it in her notes that the agents were talking about crashing airliners into the World Trade Center. One very interesting thing comes up, which kind of puts it in perspective, and that's that in October of 2000, the Pentagon staged an emergency drill simulating the crash of a hijacked airliner into the Pentagon. Now, how could Bush and Rice and Cheney say that they had no idea that such a thing would happen?
And yet, a lot of people in this country will turn their head and not listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like I said before, denial is not a river in Egypt. This is a big psychological thing for many people to eat. It's like, don't tell me that gravity suddenly means that things fall up instead of down, and don't tell me that green means stop and red means go.
Well, why don't they admit then that they were wrong, that they didn't read the signs, that they screwed up, and get on with it? A bigger man admits that he's wrong once in a while.
Yeah, but you see, here to admit that you're wrong admits that it means admitting that you're a criminal. And the U.S. government has criminal, direct involvement in the attacks of 9/11. We needed those attacks. Just a few minutes ago, you were talking about an external threat. And, my God, you sounded almost exactly like Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's former national security advisor, who wrote in a book called The Grand Chessboard in 1997, 4.5 years before the attacks, about the coming conflict in Central Asia and the Middle East, and that, to use Brzezinski's own words, he said the shock effect of the attack on Pearl Harbor and on another place, he says, without a direct external threat, the American people would never support, the imperial mobilization, those were his words, necessary to control this vital region. And what's necessary to control there is 60% of the world's oil is in the Middle East.
Are you saying, though, that there are those in government who intentionally turn their head and let 9/11 happen? Or are you saying that there are those in government who helped plot, mastermind what occurred with Osama bin Laden as the stooge and the vehicle for what was going on?
Well, here's what I think. It's more the latter than the former. But here's what I think, is that we have clear evidence that a number of the alleged 9/11 hijackers trained at U.S. military facilities, from the Pensacola Naval Air Station, that's Mohammed Atta, to Maxwell Air Force Base, excuse me, that was Atta and Maxwell. She, I think, trained at Pensacola. Others had received foreign language training at the Defense Language School in Monterey.
But as Saudis, right, at the time?
No. Some were Saudis, yes, but they were not part of the Saudi military.
Oh, okay.
None of them ever were. So there's a direct military connection, and what I think is that some of Al-Qaeda's cells had been taken over by the CIA and were run somewhat independently of bin Laden. And I think that there is clear evidence that two of the hijackers, for example, Al-Hazmi and Al-Midar, who were on a CIA watch list. They were wanted. They were linked to the Cole bombing. Who had attended a major Al-Qaeda terrorism summit in Malaysia in 2000, were allowed to enter the country even though they were on watch list. And the FBI had put out a notice saying, pick these guys up. But what's very strange is, even though they had California driver's license, credit cards, and listed phone numbers, the FBI says they couldn't find them. At the time, they were living with an FBI informant.
Unbelievable. Is there a fight inside our own government between the good and the evil?
Oh, I wish there was.
You don't think so, then?
No. I think there is. People often ask me if I think there's going to be a difference or would be a difference between having George Bush or John Kerry as president. And my response is, we'll have much better theme music with John Kerry. It'll be a fisted glove in velvet, but it's basically no different from arguing about whether you're going to be ruled by the Genovese or the Gambino crime family. I mean, John Kerry's going to continue the war on terror. He's going to institute a draft. We've written heavily about that. He's going to increase the army by two divisions. He says he's going to fight the war on terror better. And from the wilderness, we've been saying now for 3 years exactly where this war is going to go, and it's been going exactly where we pointed to.
And you think this is all done for economic gain for a few?
No. I think this is being done because the world is beginning to run out of hydrocarbon energy, and those who have hydrocarbon energy survive, and those who don't, don't.
So are they doing this for our own benefit, Michael? For yours, for mine, for our kids?
Not in my name, they're not. They think that they're doing it for my benefit.